God being magnified. There's such a manifestation here. There's such a palpable spirit of God. Jesus of Nazareth is here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're so real. You are so good, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. And you may be seated. Acts chapter 4 and verse 17. Pastor asked me to expound on a thought that we had at the SFC rally. Wonderful time in the Lord there. And I'm so thankful for everybody that's here tonight. God bless you. Especially thankful for my wife. If there's any youth director applause to be given, it's to her. She puts it all together. She does it all. Amen. So thankful for her and my children. So good to have Aaliyah and Maxon with me. And then so good to see my and Adelaide. Amen. Praise God. It's good to remember all your kids. And it's good to be with my brother and his wife. Amen. And their children. Good to see my man Jackson and Jacqueline. And it's really good to see Jazlyn. Amen. Jazlyn, praise God. I was actually practicing that. But when you have students, one student might have just a little different ring to the name. I should have just stuck with Jazz. Amen. Praise God. But the apostles were told, and they were warned of the Pharisees and Sadducees, said, these men, in Acts 4:17, need to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Anybody know that name tonight? And then they called them in again. They thought, I don't think they quite got the message. They called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Then after further threats, they let them go. And upon their release, everybody say upon their release. Jumping down to verse 23, it says, Peter and John went back to their own people, or as it reads, company. Amen. After the stern rebuke and your doctrine is disdained, after your precious Savior, Brother Merle, is disrespected, we could talk a lot simply about where they went. But sometimes it's important to mention where they didn't go. When all of this was falling down around them, and when they were disrespected and shamed, and when they had their Savior so defamed, they didn't go to a place of compromise and say, man, how can we make this a little bit more universal? How can we just fit in with the religious world in our area? How can we water this down a little bit so it's not ruffling so many feathers? They didn't have a hard time and say, give me something that's just going to get me higher. Right. They didn't visit any shop. They didn't go sit on a bar stool. But Scripture says they went to their own company. I wonder if I'm in my own company tonight. Actually, I don't need to wonder that. Praise God. But I wonder if someone would be willing to say, yeah, I'm one of them. And I'm sticking with this Jesus name thing. I don't care what comes my way. Amen. I'm going to keep on praying in Jesus' name. And you're in your own company right now. You're in the place where they speak in other tongues. Amen. You're in the place where we believe in the supernatural. You're in the place where people get saved and delivered. Amen. You're in the place, hallelujah, where a drug addict can come high and leave sober. You're in the place where a child of God can come sober, Brother Jaime, and leave drunk. Hallelujah. That's the kind of company that we're keeping tonight. Praise God. David said, you know what? I envied the proud life of sin. You know, it started to look pretty carefree. I began to envy their abundance. My foot had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. He said, surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. Well, that's real, isn't it? Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. He asked in Psalms 2, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. And he says, all day long, I have been plagued. I've been punished every morning. When I tried to understand all this, you ever tried to make sense of life? Ever tried to understand questions and difficulties? He said, I tried to understand it, and my end result was it was just flat oppressive to me. Amen. Until, hallelujah, until I entered the sanctuary of God. And there awaited me, when I got in my own company, some revelation. Amen. I began to see my future a little more clearly. I began to see the glory of God a little bit more clearly. Things began to make sense to me. Amen. That I'm a child of God. I'm going in the right direction. My God is still on the throne. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's something powerful. Amen. About getting in your own company. Doesn't matter what kind of plague and oppression you're facing on the way. Just get there. Amen. And God is going to work it out. Doesn't matter if you don't understand it. There's a peace of God that passes all understanding. If I could just get into my own company. Hallelujah. When the kingdom of Israel split into two, there was the kingdom of Jeroboam to the north and the kingdom of Rehoboam to the south. Rehoboam had the temple in Jerusalem. He had the place of worship. And Jeroboam thought to himself, if I allow my new kingdom to worship there, perhaps I'll lose authority. I'm going to lose contingency. I'm going to lose people. And so this is what he did in 1 Kings 12 and verse 28. Says the king made two golden calves, and he let the people know, it's just too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. It's just too much for you to get to church. It's just too much for you to make it to camp meeting. Hey man, I'm so thankful. I know the travel is not long for you, but I know the days at the campground can be long. I know it's difficult to put that aside and do that work. And it always seems like there's never-ending work to be done. Something always needs to be fixed. So many dump runs. So much work that needs to be completed. But I thank you for your efforts, because it's for people like me and my family and others that are coming. Amen. That allows us to get with our own company. I don't care how far the journey, I've got to get with my own company. I need that spiritual uplifting, and I applaud and thank you for allowing that to be possible, because lives get changed in the next 2 weeks. Amen. People get called in the next 2 weeks. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. People leave changed in the next 2 weeks. But the message of the world was here, and it is today. It's too much for you to make it to God. It's too much for you to make it to Jerusalem. And so he set up these idols and says, here are your gods. Something interesting happens in verse 29. It says, one he set up in Bethel. And then a much further distance from Bethel even is one set up in Dan. He's wanting to reach the area of his kingdom. But something interesting happens. Remember, he made his pitch, saying it's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. But then it continues in verse 30 and says the people went even as far as Dan to worship the calf there. It's so interesting to me, Pastor, how people have such a difficulty putting aside money and putting aside their means in order to make it to church. But for the things of this world, for that Hawaiian vacation and so on, they will be able to make that journey. They will make that distance to go and be in the company of the world. But finding the company of God, boy, that's too far. The journey's too long. But if you begin to make that trip, You will go further for the things of this world. Amen. It will take you down into where you're spending more of your time. 1 Corinthians 15:33, the apostle said, bad company corrupts good character. It's not me being able to provide my character and begin to form and change other people when I'm around them continually, when I'm rubbing shoulders with sin. But no, it's the other direction. Their bad company corrupts my good character. Why being in my own company is so important. Why Scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. A great commandment given us in Hebrews 10:25. For these instances, for these difficulties that we face. And I love what the Levites chose to do that were under Jeroboam's rule and kingdom. 2 Chronicles 11:14 tells of the length that they would go. It says that the Levites abandoned their pasture lands and property and came to Judah and Jerusalem because Jeroboam and his sons had rejected them as priests of the Lord. My home is everything to me. My pasture lands are everything to me. That's my food. Those are my crops. My property means everything. That's got to pass on to my kids. But no, getting with my own company is even more important than my own property, even more important than my own income, even more important than any worldly means that I can have. I've got to get to my own company. I don't care what it looks like. Amen. I've got to make it there. I don't care what deficits may show up in my bank account. I've got to make it there. Hallelujah. Praise God. And there's more tithe now that has to be given in this region. How in the world is God going to provide for everybody? Verse 17 says, when they made this move within their lives, when they said, forget my pasture land, forget my property. And I know I'm repeating that, but it bears repeating. What a massive thing that they're doing here. I'm leaving it behind. And this is what happened to Rehoboam's kingdom. It says in verse 17, they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and supported Rehoboam, son of Solomon, 3 years. Amen. Praise God. I believe that sin is a reproach to any people, but righteousness exalts a nation. Amen. Praise God. There is strength in having people of God get together in the same company. Might not know how God is going to provide for us. Might not know how God is going to help me. And I don't have my source of income anymore. I don't have that property. I don't have that status anymore. But, oh, I've gotten together with some good company. Amen. Might not have those old friends anymore that were corrupting my character. But I'm hanging out with this company now. And somehow, God provides. Rehoboam would give over his kingdom to his son named Abijah. And Abijah would face off with Jeroboam, the idolatrous king. And Abijah would begin to speak to Jeroboam as their battle lines are being drawn. And he lifts up his voice and begins to speak to that other army that's coming against him. He begins to speak to the enemy. Amen. There's something great about someone that's willing to prophesy in the face of the adversary. Somebody that's willing to look cancer in the eye and begin to speak some things about the God that we have. Someone that's willing to speak to a deficit in the bank account. Amen. And begin to believe for a God that we have that can do a tremendous work. And he says, you have abandoned the things of God. You've abandoned God's commandments. But as for us, the Lord is our God. Let it be known throughout, there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jesus. Praise God. And he says, we have not forsaken him in 2 Chronicles 13:10. The priests who serve the Lord are sons of Aaron, and the Levites assist them. Every morning and evening they present burnt offerings. That's atonement. Amen. And fragrant incense to the Lord. Praise God. They're still making intercession. They're still sending up prayers. They're still asking for forgiveness from God. They set out the bread on the ceremonially clean table. Amen. There's still the bread that's going out. And for us, that's the bread of the word. They light the lamps on the gold lampstand. Amen. That's the oil. Praise God. That's the anointing. Amen. This is all still happening. There's still sacrifice going forth. There's still intercession that's taking place. There's still the bread of the word that's going forth. There's still anointing oil, and there's still light that lights our way within our lives. There's the vigilance that we've kept of the priests. Remember those Levites who left their pasture land? Yet somehow God is providing bread. Somehow God's providing for everybody oil. Somehow God's providing meat and sacrifice. Amen. When you're able, when you're willing to leave that bad company, God will provide for you. He's going to provide a word for you. He's going to provide anointing oil for your life. Hallelujah. He's going to provide atonement for your life. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And Abijah finished. He says, I may be king, but God is with us. And God is our leader. And I like the name Abijah means Yah is my father. Amen. Jehovah is my daddy. Amen. Jesus is my leader. Praise God. Now, Jeroboam's listening to the speech. And Brother Paul, he says, man, that's a touching speech. And meanwhile, he's given signals to his soldiers. He's given signals to his troops. Says, oh, yeah, go keep talking, preacher. Keep preaching, preacher, about your God and the bread and the oil. That's really neat. And he's sending troops around to the rear so that while Abijah was in front of Judah, or rather Jeroboam's in front of Judah, the ambush was behind them. And Judah turned and saw that they were being attacked at both the front and the rear. Now, where is your God now? How are you going to ignite something now? You're completely surrounded, preacher. Boy, that was a nice speech about the Levites and everything. But I mean, is there really any substance there? Is there any tangible power that can help you right now? You've got yourself in a trap. And Abijah, verse 14, it says, they just cried out to the Lord. The priests blew their trumpets, and the men of Judah raised the battle cry. They raised a battle cry. A great company began to raise a battle cry. Okay, now what is God going to do with that? I haven't heard of anybody being hurt or injured by somebody yelling at them. Amen. People have tried to do that. I've heard a whole lot of trash talk that had taken place, but it's never staggered anybody. It's never knocked anyone down. I've never seen anybody get lacerated by trash talk. Amen. I've seen a lot of trash talk or heard it, but seen the, you know, scenario where you're squaring off. What is a shout going to do? But there's this something special about a company that trusts in an almighty God, that's been trusting in the oil, that's been trusting in the bread, amen, that's been trusting in their Savior, that's been offering those sacrifices, that's given up some things for the anointing of God, that said, I'm leaving that company, I'm leaving my land over there, I'm leaving those friendships over there and everything tied to that idolatry over there. Scripture says, at the sound of their battle cry, God routed Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. Sometimes a victory, Pastor Glover, is just waiting for a sound. Just waiting for a company to begin crying out unto the Almighty God. Just waiting for a company that says, I am this reliant upon God. I can't do this on my own. I'm sold out to God. I don't have any way to handle this. God. And God says, okay, they're crying out to me at that sound. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And it turns out I do need some water. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sound like I'm 14 again. Amen. Well, to be honest, that would happen more about 17 for me, for being real here. Praise God. But Abijah, the company, pursued Jeroboam. You know what Jeroboam had? He had Bethel. You know what Bethel means? House of God. Hey, man, sometimes it takes a shout to get your house of God back. This place has been full of corruption. This has been full of, we haven't had enough worship taking place here. But when that shout goeth forth, amen. Boy, we can take the house of God back. Amen. There's something that can take place. Thanks, Brother Jordan. Amen. Now there's a proverb, speaking of the company of the Lord and what he does. There's a proverb that Jesus lived by when you get into his company. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 28. It reads, do not say to your neighbor, come back later. I'll give it tomorrow. Okay. All right? Don't tell him, come back later. I'll give it tomorrow. Why? Because you have it with you now. And that's how Jesus is when you get into his company. I'm not going to give you something tomorrow that I can give you right here today. Right here tonight. When there's a company of those that just believe in God, they'll be willing to tell you, man, we don't need to wait till youth camp. We don't need to wait till family camp. You can get your touch now. You can get your breakthrough now. Amen. Jesus said, I'm not going to wait. Nicodemus, this is how you get saved. How many Sabbath healings that Jesus did, that he could have avoided so much religious persecution if he'd just chosen to wait a day. Jesus, that evil spirit can wait a day. No, it can't. Amen. I've got it right now. I've got authority right now. Peter's mother-in-law, Lord, she can make it another night. No, she can't. Amen. That fever is gone now. That lame man, Lord, he can wait another day. It's a Sabbath. You're going to cause an uproar. No, he can't wait. I've got to heal him. I've got to heal the man with the shriveled hand. I've got to heal the cripple. I've got to heal the woman with dropsy. Amen. Which is meaning of so many different ailments that could have been. Could have been heart failure. Could have been cirrhosis of the liver. Could have been kidney disease. Could have been excess fluid in the lungs. Jesus says, I don't care what it is. It's not waiting another day. But we're taking care of it now. The man born blind. Man, you've been born blind. There's no more days of that. It's time for you to see. It's time for you to receive your sight. And David said it this way as we come to a close. He said, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you. I don't have a particular time or a special time that you're supposed to pray. But I think early on in any given situation, early on in your day, early on when you've been received the diagnosis, when you're having that problem, I think then is the time to begin praying. Just pray early. That's what David's saying. Put God first in your life. And that praying is great. But David understood that prayer comes with a powerful companion. He said, I pray and the Lord hears my voice. That's a great revelation right there, isn't it? Hey man, it doesn't get any deeper than that. Lord, I pray and you hear my voice. Praise God. Sterling Pentecostal Church, amen. Saints, guests, visitors, when you pray, God hears your voice. But he said there's something else with it. He said, not only do I pray, not only does he hear my voice, but he says, I wait in expectation. He says, what I need to have when I begin to pray to my God is expectation. That's the powerful companion that comes with prayer. I'm not just praying and not believing that somebody's hearing me, but I believe there's an almighty God. And so, because of that, I have great expectation. Hallelujah. And upon their release, Peter and John went back to their own company. And they began to pray. And they said, Lord, Acts 4:29, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. And let's all stand. Stretch out your hand to heal. That's the prayer of the apostles. And I know that it's talking about, Brother French, you, all of the healing that's going to happen. But there's sometimes when I get in my own company that I come flat wounded. And I come hurting. And I'm having difficulties. And that prayer is for me. Stretch out your hand, God, and heal. And I'm talking about me. Hey, man, I may have this title or that. I may have been seen as somebody that's attained to something. I haven't attained to nothing. God, I need you to heal me and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after they prayed, hey, man, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I know there's many of us in here that I like how Pastor gave altar call a couple Sundays ago. He just asked, who's received the gift of the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues? And that's wonderful. And they all had. But it's so important for me to have that experience again. Again, the place was shaken. Day of Pentecost, it was shaken. They said, that's not enough. Day of Pentecost, there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and they were all filled. But here, when we get in our own company, I think the disciples are letting us know how we're supposed to have church. When you get together, there should be some Holy Ghost. Amen. There should be some sound that takes place. Hallelujah. There should be something that happens. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's worship right now as we prepare our hearts. Let somebody lift up their voice. Oh, God. Would you minister to this company right now? Hallelujah. Would you fill us with your spirit and presence, God? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Young lady, she's been living at our house. We've been helping her, and her dad called her up and said, you know, I really want you to come over and hang out. And she went over there, and unfortunately he was already a little bit lit and agitated. And he began to verbally assault her for her stance that she had been taking, clothes she was wearing, and the stance she was taking towards God. And then, as they began to talk back and forth, he physically assaulted her. Cracked her right in the face. She bit her tongue and was hurting there. And after the report and the interview with the police, and after this 18-year-old child is bewildered and her eyes are big and she's cried her eyes out, amen, Brother Mario, she returned to her own company. What do you say then, psychologist? What do you say to that girl, counselor? Yeah, you can give a hug and you can try and say some stuff, but there's not much that you can do. Hey, man, I think the best thing to do when you're in your own company
is, you know what? There's nothing we can say. Let's go ahead and begin to give this unto God. Hallelujah. And we said, we're going to pray. There's another lady that is a great friend of ours that was there that doesn't attend our church, but is in a great deal of pain. And you see her, she looks normal, seemed to be going okay, but she's generally in pain all the time. Can't figure out what's going on. There's pain in her gums, pain in her jaw. And she's there with us, and she's concerned about what's happened to Terry. But sometime within that company, when we began to pray, Terry changed from her situation, and she locked into a prayer that was so powerful. Hallelujah. And suddenly, while Terry's going through her hard time, she begins to get a hold of God. And the rest of the company begins to pray. And suddenly, Becca begins to feel healing in her body like never before. And that prayer continues to go forth. And she says, I feel it right now. My pain was at an 8 and the level just continues to drop. Amen. As God continues to touch me. I want everybody to come forward. Praise God. When we get together, everybody's company. Hallelujah. Everybody come forward. Everybody has something God can do for them in this midst. And we're going to have a time of prayer. And I want the children of God. I don't know what situation you've been going through. Amen. But I know there's enough testimony reason. There's enough glory in here for us just to have a shouting time. Amen. To spend the night dancing before the Lord and worshiping Him. But I know that there's other needs that are brought here. There's others of you that are like David that said, I've got questions I can't understand, and I don't understand what I'm going through and why I'm going through this. Here is your moment to step into revelation, to step into the sanctuary of God. And I think, Brother Jaime, it would be good in somebody's situation, in somebody's life, for us just to give out a helpless shout unto God. Amen. For us to just say, God, my hand, I have no idea what to do about this. I have no idea how to minister to this need. I have no idea. But what I do know is that I'm in my company. Hallelujah. Where we believe in the name of Jesus. Sitka girls, you hear this all the time, and it's very true. Where the name of Jesus is, anything can happen. Woo! Anything can happen. Anything can happen. So on the count of three, I wonder if we can lift up a shout unto God. And we can reach for Him in our situation. And I don't know what you're going through, but I'm going to allow our altar workers and so on just to minister. But I wonder if you would reach out unto God in this company. And if this place would be willing to be shaken. 1, 2, 3, reach out. Yeah.